Hi, everybody. You have the clip. That's okay. Yeah. Nothing else. Okay. All right. So, I have been a physical production exec for about 12 years, the Weinstein Company and the Regency, and somehow information security and content security landed in my lap. And it was extremely difficult. And I was tasked with figuring out how can we make it work so that the filmmakers will actually use the systems. So the rule was we had to make it so that information can get to all the filmmakers easily without them making any effort to receive the information. You can join me. Second was the filmmakers had to be allowed to use tools that they were familiar with and that we couldn't change their tools unless they wanted to upgrade. There we go. We wanted to eliminate lots of passwords and usernames, and so move production into a single sign-on environment, which is still pretty much unheard of. We needed it to be manageable by an IT team of zero, or one if you're lucky. We needed to have control of the information. The information that the crew were creating needed to be in the possession of the production, not in the possession of the individual crew members. Everything had to work quicker than before. They had to need to use fewer clicks than they were accustomed to, because if there was one more click, they wouldn't do it. It had to integrate all the information, and most of all, it had to be secure. We were working in, this is in 2015, the Regency had three films going simultaneously. We were working in eight countries, and we had 12 different offices. This was, needless to say, a challenge for an IT team of two people. And then we also had the problem that all productions have with the licensing of the services, in that the number of users is constantly changing and never actually very, very many. So for when you're going out and trying to negotiate a software license or user license, for productions it's very, very difficult.
Well, that also creates a huge hassle in trying to get people provisioned into the system.
Yes, the onboarding and offboarding is an added nightmare. We create all kinds of information. The industry has as a focus, and certainly at this event, the focus is on the media itself. But in fact, the intellectual property created on a production is not just the media. It is every single contract, it is every call sheet, is every script, is everything that every element created to build the final product is in fact part of the chain of title and your IP. And on top of that, we're collecting information about our employees, which puts us under regulatory. The standard is, around the world, we all have our favorite systems. And you've got the payroll system and the corporate and the crew. You have all different emails, everybody coming with their own, and then the studios. You have different types of storage accounts. And, of course, you have a gazillion bring-your-own-device devices. And so the information that's being created during the production is stored across all of these different solutions, usually determined by the end user, not by the company. And, of course, when one person in one department needs information from another person in another department, they resort to email. And we were trying to figure out, okay, we've just got to bring this under control. I mean, it's the number one risk. People sharing information. They're sharing everything from the documents themselves, or worse, their credentials to access the documents. So we have all of those problems, and then problems that are unknown to the filmmaker or that they don't think is applicable to them. One is their own intractability and not wanting to change how they work, but also are regulations that they don't actually know exist that are, that do relate to their work. And those regulations are becoming much stricter in the next year, especially for those of us who do a lot of production of overseas. We're now going to fall under a regulation called GDPR, which protects the information of our European employees very, very strictly, and we will not be allowed to have it float back and forth across the ocean as we have recently.
So what's been your experience in trying to enforce security in that kind of an environment?
Difficult. What we aim to do is... We spent a lot of time interviewing crew. I actually traveled around to our productions for about 3 months, not as their physical production exec, not as the main studio person overseeing their show, but just there to ask them, how do you work? What works for you? What are the systems you like? What don't you like? What makes your day easier? What makes it harder? And from that, sort of started to get more buy-in from those shows because they realized that we were actually trying to make their day work better. So one of the ways we've worked on securing the system is by creating a single sign-on environment that verified the users without them needing lots of passwords, and without them knowing that there's multi-factor happening in the background. So the users would have their username and password. That would be it, just a single sign-on. In the background, we would verify that they're actually on the device that we issued to them, or the device, if they were authorized to use their own device, it was a device that was registered into our system.
Jump in a little bit there. So in the broader IT industry, mm-hmm. things like multi-factor authentication, mm-hmm. strong passwords and all that are very well known, you know, financial services,
right.
Healthcare is very, you know, thoroughly implemented. Why doesn't that work in Hollywood?
Because if you ask a filmmaker to check their phone and type in a number from their phone into the system, they just won't use it. And they'll set up a box account on the side of their own and start a whole, what do they call it, shadow IT world. So you have to make it so that, in fact, the system that you're creating for them is easier for them to use than the one that they would create for themselves.
So almost it has to be easier than not doing anything at all.
Yes. Lastly, we set up trusted IPs. So we would have a list. We had a list of whitelisted IP addresses, and based on those IP addresses and where the person is, they would be granted different access to the network. So if they were on a Starbucks public Wi-Fi or the hotel public Wi-Fi, we would only grant them access to their email. If they were on the office network, they would be able to access the file share and the daily system, et cetera, et cetera. And so that would be all happening in the background. Then once they're in the system, we did have a very strict user permissioning structure with every user assigned to a permission group, and based on that permission group, they would be assigned access to different applications. Within the applications, they would be given access to particular information within the application, and then they would be given permission, like, are they a reader only, are they an owner, and that would be at the folder level. So one folder they might be a reader, and another folder they might be an owner. So this may work very easy for them, and the security was background, not in front of them. It was just there in the background. We then made it a user-friendly interface, so that their applications and their file share was right there in front of them, easy to access. It had a quick link to tech support, my one poor person in London. The file sharing system had shortcuts to their folders, so they didn't have to dig around. They could actually set favorites and find their folders immediately. Another thing we've been working on, and it works for some things, it's not quite, we're almost, I would say this is not 100% there, but almost. Certainly office documents, PDF documents, we are able to encrypt them all individually. So when a person downloads that document from the system and out of the file share, it is still encrypted. And if they send it to someone who's not in our Active Directory, that person cannot open the file. Eventually, and I hope by the end of the year, we'll be able to encrypt all of the media files as well in the same way. So these are the steps that we went through, and I sort of recommend that I'm going to fly through them. First of all, every company needs to look at what they consider at risk, and every company has a different assessment of that. How is that information managed at right now? What tools do the users like to use? What are they using right now? And how are they accessing it? What permissions? How is access to what they have right now granted? Next is to look around at the resources out there. This conference is full of different solutions. And are any of them better than what you're currently using? What in your systems doesn't work, and what does work, and how can they be changed? What new tools can be added to the systems you're using for your email, for your file storage? And what tools will provide the oversight that you need, the insight into what your users are doing? I mean, this is a really big problem for production and film companies, is that they really have no insight into what is happening out there, and about bringing on tools that allow you to see what's going on. We did a proof of concept. Obviously, you wouldn't be able to do this on a production. This would be long before the production. One of the things I learned from doing the proof of concept is we as the buyers, we can actually ask the big providers, including Microsoft, to change their software for us. We can push them around a little bit and get them to work with us to make it work better for our solution that we need.
Yeah, thanks for letting everyone know.
I've been pushing Microsoft around for a year and a half. And we're almost there. We've almost got what we want. And then finally, with a cohesive system, present it as a planned rollout. One thing I definitely learned is you need to have your policies and guidelines ready before you roll out, not as you're rolling out, that you need to have everything ready together and plan it so that when users come to you, you already know it all. I also highly recommend training user advocates. People on the team, there are going to be some people who are adopters. They're interested. Get them really on board. Train them more than, get them so they know as much as you do. They will help sell it to the rest of the crew. You can't rest on your laurels. The changes that have happened in 1 year since every vendor that I visited last year and visited this year, it is so different. And the solutions that were awesome last year may be completely out of date this year, and there might be completely new solutions this year. Or there are companies that last year I didn't think worked at all, and this year are brilliant. So you really have to you have to be looking all the time at what's working, because everyone else is looking at how they can get around the system.
Well, that tends to be a more generic problem in the industry, is that they find one thing that works and they stick with it.
Yes.
For 2, 3, 5, 10 years, and then particularly in the cybersecurity space, you will pay very dearly for that.
Right. There was a period that we didn't ever want to update our operating system, because that meant, oh my God, you're going to have weeks, if not months, of glitches and problems and everything because you upgraded. Today, having to re-educate people and make them forget that era, which wasn't very long ago, because right now, you have got to update with every update. Every update is because they found a flaw that a hacker can use, basically. And so it's really critical. Basically, we worked through our list of items and try to meet each of them. I think we've come pretty close. And but like everything, like I was just saying, we can't rest on our laurels. We have to keep looking, keep building. The motto is, have one network for everyone, one policy for everyone, one file instead of multiple and multiple silos, and one set of data instead of many. Because if there's just one, it's less to secure, less to teach, less to enter, and less to find. And then these are just my favorite quotes of the year. Or they're not necessarily of this year, some of them are very old. But most importantly, change has never happened this fast before, and it will never be this slow again. Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Very good, very good. Any questions for Lulu? Come on, Jeff, you have a question.
Come on, Jeff, test me.
You must have it. I don't see it.
The question was, is there a date for launch?
We're aiming for this late fall. Mostly because several vendors aren't single sign-on yet. That's where you have to push your vendors around.
Hey, we already have single sign-on.
Oh, you do? Microsoft does.
With the increasing mobile space where people are working not outside of trusted offices and trusted areas, how do you reconcile whitelist IP or IP whitelisting and restricting access from mobile spots versus four walls?
Right. So one of the things we did was we paid $5 an extra a month to T-Mobile so that we had a VPN trusted IP for our 4G access. And that we basically said to the crew, no, don't use the Wi-Fi at Starbucks. Use your 4G data. That was one of the solutions. Another one is at our production bases. We obviously reinstall a 4G network that is, again, a trusted IP address.
And you do a variety of provisioning of devices on site. So you put your security software, your endpoint management, so that anybody connecting to the network is able to scan, or their device gets scanned.
Yes.
And so it's like having not just multi-factor authentication, but you're doing it based on the device type, their identity, condition of the device, and so forth.
Yeah. We do, as much as possible, we issue the devices rather than allow people who, especially, we divided the crew and employees into two groups. Content creators and information receivers. Information receivers were allowed to use their own devices. The content creators, we were very strict about issuing devices to them so that we knew that all the software was properly licensed, everything was up to date, the firewalls, the virus scans, everything was current, and that they were fully registered in our system and tracked. It also meant that by having the devices owned by the company, all the information created on the device is in the possession of the company and not in the possession of the employee. Because when you allow an employee to use their own device and they're creating information on that device, it is their property until they determine to give it to you, the company. And that's a big problem, especially, you know, anyone who's put together a pickup shoot and post knows that, you know, there's that prop master who did not deliver his inventory or only gave half of the continuity stills or whatever it is. There's always missing information. And that's information that you're specifically looking for because you're trying to solve picking up a scene. But when you multiply that by all the information they created, how much is going home with them?
So that, I think, leads to another interesting question. If there's somebody using a, you know, in that case, a new Regency-issued device, and they are, you know, within your environment, and they take a picture of the set or something that's secure, or that really, you know, that should be physically secure. Who are, you know, does that picture of that environment belong to the studio?
Yeah.
Or does it, okay. And how do you keep that? How do you restrict anybody from being able to ship that information?
We have very specific people, I mean, at New Regency we did, and I certainly advocate it. People who are allowed to take pictures in sensitive environments had specific passes. They were usually brightly colored differently from everyone else. So if anyone else was taking a picture, it's like, wait a minute, whoa, that you're not allowed to be doing that. By having the crew who are authorized to take pictures be given the device, the picture's being taken on a device that you own, that device is connected to your file sharing system, that picture is being uploaded directly into the company's picture store, not into the, the number of times at the end of a show, crew will come to us and say, well, I've got all these pictures I'm trying to deliver to you, but they're in my iCloud, and I really don't want to give you my baby pictures. It's just like, Jesus. So by creating that separation, it's just highly recommended. We also, when we would issue smartphones to the crew who needed them, we would put them in god-awful bright green cases. So again, it was just a visual cue. This person is using a device that belongs on set that can be used versus someone on an unauthorized device. Just creating visual cues for the security team and other crew members to be able to keep an eye out.
Excellent. Well, I think Guy is about to boot us off the stage.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm amazingly calm in terms of my timing. And we have tons of time. Does anybody else have a question? Jeff?
Yep. For some reason, we have big time today. Yeah, to fly turn a little bit. Yeah.
So, when it comes to email, when you're on set, how did you, I know you issued an email address, but how did you prevent them from transitioning whatever they wanted to their personal, from sending it off to their personal email? And then distributing out from that.
So that's where the individual file encryption comes in. Well, there are two ways. First is using some of the information sharing systems. You can use like Synchronize, where the individual is allowed to cache the document on their phone. They can go offline. They can be up in Timbuktu with no internet, and the document is cached inside of their Synchronize. So they can't send it via another way. The other way is being the encryption solution, where they've received a document that they're authorized to open. If they decide to use their personal email and send it off to somebody else unauthorized, that recipient is going to receive a dead brick. They will not be able to open the file. It will ping us and say, this person would like to open the file, and they can ask to, and if there's someone that should have had permission, we can add them in.
But the advantage is that you can also very quickly deprovision people.
Yes.
So if somebody leaves a production, they no longer have access
right.
to it, even if it's on the device.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the advantages of going single sign-on and having a single source of managing the users, because you can deprovision them from everything in one place. And it's a big problem. I know it happened to us, and I know it's happened to others, where crew members would be left lingering on odd systems that you just wouldn't know they were out there. And the worst one was, you know, finding out after film was delivered when the accountant comes and says, why the hell are we still being billed for XYZ? And he's like, well, why were you being billed for the last 6 months? But because they were in post, they didn't know that the account should have been closed until they finished post, and they found out that the whole crew had been active for 6 months. It was like crazy. But these are the types of errors that happen just because they're small IT teams. It's just too much to manage. So by bringing it into single sign-on, it not only makes it easier for the crew, but it also makes it easier for IT to manage it.
Do you think those issues also come from us not being as concerned from a monetary perspective because we had better returns, better box office? Are we being more mindful around our systems and just simply because of budgets and budget constraints and all that business? I mean, not that it's going to break the bank, but...
No, I mean, one of the things that I had to do for New Regency, and I'm working on making a generalized version of it that I can share outside, but film producers haven't budgeted for any of this for years, forever. And so when you start to give them a budget and start saying they need to budget for it, they, you know, wait a minute, we just give our crew $500 and we're done and they provide it and we don't have to worry about it. But I was actually able to demonstrate to New Regency by going through not the budgets of movies, but actually the general ledger of what we spent on the movies. There were servers and phones and Dropbox, you know, enterprise accounts and all kinds of spending buried all through petty cash, miscellaneous accounts, I mean, crazy places. And in the end, it's not that they weren't spending money. They were spending money ad hoc with no management, no controls, no security.
No centralized place for visibility and transparency, which is another huge piece. Because when you talk about security, you can't have security in a non-transparent environment.
No.
Well, Guy, are you going to talk about the PGA guidance?
That's what I was going to lead to that. Like, we've got a few more minutes. You know, ultimately, you mentioned that. We as CDSA worked on that, had a good committee form, mm-hmm. And actually submitted a line item. Let's talk a little bit about it. It's a security budget line item as a production begins.
Yeah, so basically, a couple of us at the CDSA, we put together a recommended budget guideline for film producers. And one of the things that I've recommended, and at New Regency they've adopted, and hopefully this will start being adopted elsewhere, is adding a top sheet account, information management, pulling all these odd allowances, whether it's phones, computer rentals, Office 365 rentals, et cetera, into one place with a person in charge of managing it. The simple fact of adding a top sheet account creates a department. The UPM suddenly has a department they have to manage, a budget they have to look at and care about. It's not buried in, you know, the art director is not responsible for keeping his miscellaneous account on budget, and that includes whether or not he buys a server. It's now actually a production management issue. And I think that has certainly helped us at New Regency, and I'm hoping I can get that adopted more regularly around.
Well, you got good hearing.
But the CDSA has provided sort of guidelines on how to budget for it.
Surprised you didn't use the mic.
Awesome. Well, if we don't have any other questions, thank you. Thank you, Lulu. Thank you, Joel. Obviously, great session. Let's give them a...